Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free.
Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jeffrey Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Well, here you go. New York woman set to marry father. Approved slippery slope we are on. Yeah, this lady in New York, she wants to marry her daddy. She's 18 years old. Anyway, I wonder if the Supreme Court will consider this along with their deliberations on same-sex marriage. I mean, where's it going to take us? That is, after all, an oxymoronic notion, is it not? Same-sex marriage? Really? But that's only one of the values Obama thinks he shares with Americans. You heard him, right? He attempted to focus his State of the Union speech, quote, more on the values at stake in the choices before us, end quote. Well, that would be a good idea. And of course, he was talking about the American values he inculcated while growing up in Hawaii and Illinois, specifically in Chicago, which in his mind is a microcosm of the country where Democrats and Republicans and independents, good people of every ethnicity, he said, and every faith, share certain bedrock values, quote unquote. Bedrock values. Now, bedrock is that solid underlying rock that supports an overlay of soil and so forth, right? Of course, right. So bedrock values would be those values that support the overlay of culture, right? Of course, right. And anyone familiar with American values knows they are set upon that rock upon which Jesus promised to build his church. Yeah. You know that rock mentioned by Paul, where he said that rock was Christ? All observers of American culture, including that historian de Tocqueville et al., recognize that the soil of American culture that grew the greatest nation the world has ever known was set upon that rock, who is the truth, the Word made flesh, inscripturated in the Bible. Oh, yeah! You handling this okay? You might not like the facts of our history, but that doesn't change the facts of our history. Okay, our founders regarded the Bible as the indispensable guide and source of enlightenment, securing our freedoms. Anyway, our values were shaped by the Bible, specifically by the gospel of Jesus Christ, and since Obama declared, quote, we are no longer a Christian nation, at least not just, end quote, and proceeded to list a bunch of religions that had absolutely nothing to do with our founding and virtually zero influence upon our founders or upon our culture, until much later, actually until the 60s, with the introduction of Eastern mysticism into our culture with the help of the Beatles, and then lately the rising interest in Buddhism and Wicca and all that, and everything else, non- or anti-Christian, even Islam, is favored over Christianity in Obama's view of America, it appears. But these things developed exactly in step with the decline in America that led to Obama's declaration. When he talks about bedrock values, what exactly does he mean? Clear he doesn't mean the same values you and I share who hold to traditional American values. He certainly does not represent as sharing the values of our founders or of the culture that built this great nation. Now the point here is that Obama is a Muslim wrecking ball, destroying all the supports of our liberties, including pounding into pieces our country's bedrock values. At one time, for example, we might have included things like monogamy, one man with one woman for life, and, oh yeah, you know that bit about daughters not marrying their fathers as values arising upon the bedrock of our culture. Hey, did you hear the one about Obama wanting to give a free churro to every American? Oh yeah, I read it in Ben Stein's column in the Spectator, American Spectator. Uh-huh. So, according to this from American Spectator, Obama bought a churro from Hamid Naji, and he thought it was heavenly, and according to an unnamed White House source, he has been obsessed ever since and talking about proposing that every American should get a free churro, along with their Obama phone, I suppose. According to this report, President alleged staffers had to work hard to talk him out of including this proposal in his State of the Union address. Where do these things come from? I don't know. Maybe Obama ate a churro and quipped that he thought every American ought to get a free one. Or perhaps in the fertile mind of Ben Stein, you know, he sees this as a cute way to make a not-so-cute point about the president-alleged presidency in either case. I thought it was fun. And so assuming this report has at least some root in a moment, perhaps, of presidential levity, consider the biblical principle, Bible thump alert, that out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. And that's a little Bible lingo there for those who don't know who Paul McCartney is. You got to think about that a while, right? You know, Lennon said the Beatles were more famous than Jesus. Recently, some Twitter dust up over a kid who didn't know who Paul McCartney is, supposedly. And as if that is something of serious concern, especially when compared with the fact of the general ignorance of the American public about the book that serves as the bedrock of our Constitution. So anyway, contrast President Reagan's moment of levity with this one. Reagan said, quote, the bombing starts in 10 minutes, end quote, or something to that effect. When he made that little joke, he was thinking about destroying communism. Now contrast that to Obama's alleged moment of levity. By executive order, I decree that every American gets a free churro. And that coming from the heart of a man who wants to destroy capitalism, who wants to advance communism of the more brutal kind, a dictatorship of the American caliphate. Yeah. Over the top, crazy, completely unrealistic, unhinged. Well, maybe. So let's reduce it to a statement that is unarguable. Obama's presidency has strengthened the hand of terrorists, releasing from Gitmo terrorists that have reportedly resumed their mission to destroy us. His policies have virtually surrendered the Middle East to the Muslim Brotherhood, weakened our military, offended our friends, and strengthened our enemies. And I have documentation for all of that in my show notes, so there you have it, as my beloved Dove would say. Okay, let's take a look at Obama's State of the Disunion speech. And my first observation, a general observation, which I found echoed throughout the internet chamber, was... Same old pack of lies with several moments of embedded socialist rhetoric that really are often missed by the critiques of his speeches, but I'll bring them to light. We'll begin our critique with a general observation on how this State of the Union was hyped. Did you notice that? I mean, even the MSM, mostly stupid media, or okay, Marxist socialist media, whatever, was apparently intrigued at how energetically Obama and company hyped this particular State of the Union show. It was speculated by some that perhaps the ratings for Obama's speeches have declined along with his popularity, so it was thought necessary to promote this speech more than usual. But I think more than usual hardly says it. I mean, this speech was hyped more than any State of the Union in history, so it bears close scrutiny, I think. And to make certain the kiddies were all listening, he reached out to three interesting teen vloggers, whose claim to fame is, well, one of them, at least, came to YouTube fame when she videoed herself choking down a ladle of cinnamon and gagging and retching for 2 minutes. And got a few million hits on her vlog, and voila, earns her place among those who would interview Obama, have an interview with Obama after his State of the Union speech. And then there's another kid, Bethany Mota. I think she got famous showing us all her fashion purchases or something to that effect. Then there's Hank Green, who might be the substance of the trio vloggers. I mean, he at least has a resume. The trio's listeners suggested the questions, and they were really lame. I mean, the sort of thing you might expect from junior high kids, you know, suggesting that that is likely the demographic for at least two of these three. And you can imagine which two. But anyway, all of this was hype to drum up an audience for the State of the Union show, and whether or not it's intentional, that also serves to distract from a serious examination of the president's alleged speech, where, as usual, the devil is found in the details and in the sleight-of-hand manner by which Obama inserts socialist notions into the mind of the young and impressionable, which, apparently, was his target audience. Think about it. Observation the first. Obama was targeting young, impressionable minds and, I believe, intentionally seeded his speech with several socialist bedrock values. That's not so funny. Observation the second. Did you know Obama made the full text of his speech available online to the public in advance of his speech? This is unheard of. Usually, the White House releases what they call an embargoed copy to the press. It circulates among folks on Capitol Hill, but it cannot be released to the public until after the speech is delivered. But this time, Obama decided to have the speech released to the general public in advance. So, Obama wants to make certain everyone gets his propaganda speech, and that's what it is, as I'll show in a moment. He wants to get it out to the public in advance, but has never made good on his promise to make certain Americans got to look at laws 72 hours at least before they're voted on in Congress. Now, I know he's no longer in the legislature, and that is something Congress has to make good on, but he openly encouraged Congress to railroad Obamacare into law. Don't you forget that, please. And he stood mute when they dropped thousands of pages of legislation on lawmakers' desks only hours before a vote, and said nothing to Pelosi's ridiculous statement that the law had to be passed before the people could know what was in it. Are you kidding? That law was passed before most of the lawmakers voting for it knew what was in it. What a pack of liars, finally. Regarding general observations, Obama opens by declaring, "But tonight we turn the page," end quote. Please do! I don't know what book he's reading, but if this speech turned the page, somebody goofed, because it's an exact duplicate of the same page we've been staring at with this guy in office since he got there. There's nothing new in the speech, except this one has perhaps a few more seeds of socialism. Okay, when I get back, we'll take a closer look at Obama's State of the Union speech.
The Brain Massage Radio Show is heard by thousands every week. The demographic of the audience is very strong in the over 40 market, with a large and growing number of younger listeners tuning in to get their weekly brain massage. The popular talk show host is offering an opportunity to local businesses to access this vibrant audience, ready to reward those who support one of their favorite radio shows. Call Janet Fisher to learn how you can reach this audience with information about your products and services. Call 503-9945, 503-9945.
Get ready for your brain massage.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, signaling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Obviously, I don't have time to work through the entire speech on this show. If you want my notes on his speech, write and ask for them. Now, what I do is I'll take a digital copy of one of his speeches and will read through it, inserting in brackets my reactions to it throughout, even adding references to respond to certain points he makes and documentation to support my comments and so on. It's really a lot of work, and if you are a gold ambassador, that will be a bonus feature included in your monthly packet. If you're not a gold ambassador, and if you don't know what that is, then you're not. You can have it for a gift of $25 to help us with radio broadcasting costs. You'll receive the annotated speech along with an audio CD of the show. Call 1-888-770-8000, and that's our listener response hotline. You'll leave a recording, and you'll ask for the speech. Give us your name, your number, and say, "I want the speech." For the show today, I'll touch on some of the highlights. For example, his claim that, quote, "our economy is growing and creating jobs at the fastest pace since 1999, end quote. And then a little later, quote, "we have risen from the recession," end quote. Now, maybe Obama means we have begun to sort of get up from the mat, just short of a full count out. Because from fact check, the Seattle Times, we read, quote, "the U.S. may not have risen from recession quite as rousingly as President Barack Obama suggested," end quote. Now, this report goes on to point out that household income has certainly not recovered, and his boasts of healthy job growth is, quote, "complicated by the poor quality and pay of many jobs," end quote. For example, my wife's job has had to cut back on her hours in order to avoid Obamacare penalties, and of course, that's happening across the fruited plain. The uptick in jobs that we're seeing are almost entirely in the lower paying areas and in part-time jobs. Folks, it's cheaper to hire two people part-time than one person full-time in this economy. And it's all because of government regulations and interference. There continues to be 1.7 million fewer workers with full-time jobs than when the recession began in December of 07. And this with the decision officially declared over in 2009. What are we, 6 years post-recession? Come on. Furthermore, this increase in hiring has not pushed wages up, showing us again that the growth is mostly the result of one full-time job becoming two part-time jobs. In other words, there's no increase in competition for labor that's putting pressure on wages, which is usually what drives up cost of labor. Then besides all this, with wages growing at only about 2%, 6%, and inflation eating most of that away, wages continue to be stagnant. And in some ways, I'm looking at it actually declining. You know, add to this that inflation is grossly misrepresented by this administration. With food and fuel costs reducing discretionary spending, you begin to understand why you feel nothing much has changed, even though Obama and his crowd keep crowing about how everything's wonderful. I mean, folks, if things are so great, why does enrollment in SNAP, that we think of as food stamps, why does enrollment in food stamps continue to rise? In 2012, 46 million were on food stamps, and as of June 2014, we've got 47 million Americans on food stamps. Our combat mission in Afghanistan is over? Right. And leave the Afghans to turn to China for help, which might not be entirely bad, but with an opening for ISIS to move in and pick up some of those disenfranchised Taliban fighters and so on. And that's actually going on right now. You know, we'll see how this all develops. But I've warned right along, and this is way back in the Bush days, I warned that once this gets into the hands of the Dems, they would nom Afghanistan, they would nom Iraq, and they're doing just that. Oh, and then this business about shrinking deficits. Right. You know, like when you're suspicious, you know, that a certain store where you shop has increased the price out of sight and then sell it for half off, bringing the price to what's actually reasonable in the first place. Obama ran up the deficit from, how can I put this? Let's say our deficit was already in the stratosphere and Obama took it into the ionosphere and then inched it back down into the lower parts of the mesosphere. Yeah, actually, that's not bad. You got the troposphere as the first layer, stratosphere next, then mesosphere, then thermosphere, ionosphere, and then the exosphere, and finally space. So let's see, Bush launched us into the stratosphere, Obama doubled it, took us two more layers out to, anyway, you get the idea. His question, however, is insulting when he asks, quote, will we accept an economy where only a few of us do spectacularly well? Or will we commit ourselves to an economy that generates rising incomes and chances for everyone who makes the effort, end quote? What a bunch of nonsense. I mean, how about this? Will we continue to accept an economy that has 47 million people on food stamps? Will we continue to accept an economy where the government punishes those who worked hard as young people, got their education, made right choices when younger, built some wealth? Will we continue to accept Obama's vision of an economy built on punishing these people and taking away what they have worked hard to make to give it away to people who don't work or didn't work and were lazy in school and so on, didn't make the right choices, who are experiencing, in most cases, the consequences that life deals to people who make the choices they made, you know, to play around and goof around instead of paying their dues? I mean, what is with this idea that you can take away what one man earned to give it away to another man who didn't earn it? What is with this institutionalization of theft? Obama's version of helping the poor always involves stealing from those who worked hard to earn their way. Coerced compassion isn't compassion, it's theft. And that almost always results in interfering, by the way, with life's natural rebuke against foolish behavior and laziness in our youth especially, and creating in our country a class of people dependent on handouts. Obama's vision of government is to use it to punish those who made right decisions and right choices in order to bail out those who are reaping the consequences of making the wrong decisions and wrong choices. As for those who fall upon hard times, no one living in this country can have any doubt about our readiness and willingness to step up and reach out to people who need help. We don't need the government to do it. And then he asks this other insulting question. He asks whether we will approach the world fearful and reactive, dragged into costly conflicts that strain our economy and set back our standing, or will we lead wisely, using all elements of our power to defeat new threats and protect our planet? Protect our planet. You've got to be kidding me. Okay, setting aside the weird non sequitur, I mean, there's a dangerous implication here, a dangerous connection being made here between our military being sent in to address conflicts in the world and so on, and then that with the need to protect our planet? That's not the work of our military. And yet, watch for it. Obama is already moving toward retasking our military to engage in the fight against the phantom threat of global warming. I'm not kidding. The Pentagon is weighing in on the global warming scam, calling it a national security issue. You've seen what they've done to our liberties in the name of national security already. Wait till they bring the Pentagon in on global warming. Good night. As for setting back our standing, What? Obama has single-handedly brought the nation to be ridiculed and mocked by the free world and the unfree world as well, though for different reasons. Anyway, two more. Do I have time? Yes, I think I can address two more passages in this speech in this show. And then you can get a copy of my annotated transcript of Obama's speech by calling 1-888-770-8000 and then help me with broadcasting costs with a gift of $25, 20 of it being tax deductible, by the way, as a gift to LBC, your Lighthouse Baptist Church, to help with broadcasting costs. Now, when you call, ask for the speech and we'll know what you mean. Okay, two more. Another insulting question, quote, will we allow ourselves to be sorted into factions and turned against one another, or will we recapture the sense of common purpose that has always propelled America forward? And good night. Sometimes when I'm listening to this man, my head almost explodes. What? This is unreal. You've got to be kidding me. I should do a video right now of my reaction to this, like Glozell spitting, retching, gagging on cinnamon. I'm gagging on this guy's rhetoric. Maybe we'd get a million hits. This president has done more to divide this country than any president in my memory. And historically, you can't find anybody more divisive than him. I mean, you'd have to call Obama the anti-Lincoln. And here's what I mean. The nation was divided under Lincoln over race issues, actually over slavery, which at times included more whites, by the way. But that will confuse you, so we'll discuss that some other time. But with Lincoln, we were led by a man who wanted to unify a nation divided on the issue of slavery, while Obama seems to do everything in his power to divide the nation along racial lines. Now, from the Wall Street Journal, quote, race relations worse than when Obama took office, end quote. And this from a Wall Street Journal NBC poll. Quote, mood brightens on economy, not on race relations, end quote. And then this from U.S. News. Quote, Obama on track to being the most polarizing president in United States history, end quote. Now he wants the government to involve itself directly in implementing something he refers to as, quote, federal immigrant integration strategy, end quote. You see, folks, for 300 years, this country has received immigrants who were melted into this homogeneous land of the free and home of the brave, with people coming here from all over the world in love with the idea of America, and not only with the material prosperity available or opportunities available in America. These people have reduced the whole idea of America to a materialistic pursuit of things and forget entirely that it is an ideal, an idea. And people came here to become Americans. Now, they don't come to become Americans. So many of them come in with the to join in with the forces in this country that want to, quote, transform America, end quote, into something other than what the founders envisioned. It appears Obama wants to set up a system by which these immigrants will be galvanized into a sort of sub-American culture with the full support and defense of the American government itself. I don't think this is about integration. It's about invasion, and we better wake up. We need to address our immigration policies, that's for sure. We need to streamline them. We do need to make it easier for good people who want to come here to get here. But one thing that needs to be done is that no one should be allowed to immigrate into America who clearly has no interest in becoming an American. Many have expressed fears that the left, the progs, if you will, are pursuing a policy of balkanization, where we have a country divided into several sub-countries operating under a sort of federal umbrella. The one thing the progs do want to unify in these separate Americas is dependency upon government and a view that government needs to be large and pervasive as the answer to all social issues and problems. They have labored to break down the idea of individualism by creating a set of groups welded together by a common thread of hatred for America as founded, each group for its own reasons, but that's the common thread that ties them together. That's the unity Obama and his ilk promote. And finally, to conclude today's Look at Obama's State of the Union show for 2015, he wants to rally the people behind him for a push to increase the minimum wage to a livable wage for families. You gotta be kidding me. The government guarantees that whatever job you have will pay you enough to support a family? Would you please think about what this is going to do to any of these kids who want any kind of a starter job or entry-level job? He says, quote, this country does best when everyone gets their fair shot, everyone gets their fair share, and everyone plays by the same set of rules, end quote. Oh, for heaven's sake. Good night. Set aside for the moment that no one I know has more trouble playing by the rules than Barack Hussein Obama. Mercy. Rule breaker in chief. He flaunts his disregard for the rule of law with the pluck and self-assurance of a Castro in Cuba. Nobody cares less about the rules than Obama does. But setting that aside for the moment, his statement, this country does best when everyone gets their fair shot and everyone gets their fair share, Watch out for that language. What is a fair shot anyway? Is it fair, for example, for one kid to be born in a family of five and then another kid to be born in a family of only two? And so the family of two kids are able to give their two more Christmas presents per child than the parents of the five kids are able to give their kids. So what are we going to do with this? You know, we're going to go all China now and restrict families to only two kids. Are we going to ask taxpayers to come up with enough money to make certain all children receive an equal number of and quality and value of gifts? Where's this going? This is nonsense. This fair shot stuff is nonsense. Do I get a fair shot at becoming a professional football player? Try no. You ninny. When I was in high school, ninth grade, I didn't start growing until about 10th. But I was in high school, ninth grade, I was really skinny. I went out for football, and they assigned me to the C team at Artesia High. Yeah, they had varsity and junior varsity, then they had a B team and a C team. I suited up with all these other kids, and even that C team, most of them were twice my size. The coach attempted to talk me off the team almost from the very first day I suited up and went out there. Had a hard time finding a helmet that fit me. He tried everything. He tried running me to death, but I ran my guts out and would not quit. He tried to burn me out with the exercise regimen, but I dug deep, gutted it out, refused to quit. Finally, he made me go up against the biggest, meanest guy in our team. I had to run full speed into this guy over and over and over. It was like running into a rock wall. I remember literally, seeing stars a few times after I hit this guy. But I got up, got back in line, and when my turn came, I ran at this guy with everything I had. Finally, the coach took me aside, and here's what he said, pretty much. Jerry, I have never in my life seen any kid with your guts and determination. It's absolutely an inspiration. I'm convinced I must cut you from the team, because if I don't, you're going to kill yourself. I was crushed. Oh, no kidding. That was the hardest day of my life up to then. But you know what? Although even today, I think I could have made a very effective end. And that coach lost a good player when he cut me. But he did me a favor. And I found my place in gymnastics, cross-country, track. My point is this. It's not about getting a fair shake. It's about doing what you can with whatever shakes out. This business of making kids feel like, you know, if only I could get a fair shake. It's crippling our kids. They need to make their own shakes. They need to strive in order to excel. It takes resistance to build muscle, and a culture that hands everything to these kids is creating a culture of little mamby-pamby, sissified Democrat voters. Okay, I've got to go. To get my full take on Obama's speech, fully documented, by the way, so you can arm yourself to take on the liberals in your circles, call 1-888-770-8000. And ask for the speech. This offer is available to anyone in my radio or podcast audience. If you're contacting me from outside the country, or if you prefer it, you can use the website. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com. You'll find a place there to send me an email message. Be sure to give me your name and that you want the speech. But please, I want you to make a $25 donation to help me with radio broadcast costs. And when you write, we'll tell you how that's done and everything, and we'll get you your material. I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. And now you call and let me know you see that they are on. Call 1-888-770-8000. God bless you. God save America. And I'll see you in church.
Looking for an intelligent and engaged audience eager to show their appreciation to you for supporting one of their favorite radio shows? Over the past 10 years, the Brain Massage Radio Show has built up a large audience of dedicated listeners. Call Janet Fisher to help you reach this audience. 503-9945. Encounter God. The word means to meet, to experience, to confront. How would you like to encounter God in 2015? Maybe it's been a while since you've experienced God in a meaningful encounter. Renew your experience of God with a fresh encounter this year. Or maybe you've never experienced God and He doesn't seem real to you. You can encounter God in 2015 and know that God is real.